the MGM Theater of the Air. Our star this week, Ava Gardner. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and one of America's most celebrated writers of musical shows, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Throughout the ages, ever since the good old days of Tristan and Isolde, men and women have found themselves more or less helpless in the grip of that strongest of human emotions known as love. It happens every day. Such scenes as...
Say it. Maybe it's wrong. I know you don't want to say it, but say it.
Oh, I love you, darling. I love you and I always will.
Listen now as the MGM Theater of the Air brings you Ava Gardner in a drama of love, not necessarily with marriage, and marriage not necessarily with love. In one moment, we present the ever-attractive Hollywood luminary Ava Gardner in Chains. Diane Lovering had deliberately set out on a manhunt. She couldn't have done better than to select Richard Field as a possible husband. Field was not as young as the lovely Diane, but he was handsome enough and distinguished, too, in a commercial way, as president of the Field Steamship Line. In fact, there's nothing wrong about Mr. Field as a matrimonial quarry for Diane, with one possible exception. He already has a wife. As our play opens, Diane is in Mr. Field's magnificent office overlooking New York Harbor. Diane is unaware that Mrs. Field is coming to call.
Darling, Diane, darling, come over here and let me look at you.
Oh, but I've got salt in my hair.
And stars in your eyes. Do you like the speedboat?
Oh, it's a dream, Richard. Just perfect.
From this window here, I saw you splitting the Hudson wide open, making ferryboats.
Oh, I went all the way to West Point and back in 2 hours.
Is it fast enough for you?
Oh, it's as fast as Citation with a burr under his saddle. Oh, Richard, you're so good to me. I just happened to mention that a speedboat might be fun.
I'll get you a new speedboat every day if it'll make you look like this. Oh, darling, do you love me?
Yes, Richard.
Would you care to prove it? Like this? Darling. Diane, darling.
Oh, I keep asking myself, am I worthy of Richard Field? Of all the love and bigness that's in his heart? And then you kiss me like that, and I guess I must be. I hope I am.
And I keep asking myself, how can an old man
like me... Oh, no, now you know that makes me furious.
Furious because I'm 49 or for saying so.
You're the finest, grandest person in all the world.
I hope you'll believe that always. Diane.
Yes, Richard.
We don't have to worry about it happening anymore because it's happened.
Your wife?
Yes.
Oh, Richard, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm glad. She came to my room last night, said she'd... She'd known all about us for some time. Asked me what I was going to do.
In our hearts, Richard, we've known it all along. We've known it would end this way. I'm terribly sorry.
Darling, please, I love you. You don't really think I'd give you up.
Oh, but you must, Richard. She's your wife. You have 2 sons. They're growing up.
I know. In your heart, you're an honest, honorable person. You've hated all this flipping around, this...
Only because I'd be proud to have the whole world know that I love you. You've done so much for me. You mean everything to me. I owe you so much.
No, my dear. When two people truly belong to each other, everything is gladly given. Everything. Nothing is ever owed, because love knows no debt. Remember that, Diane.
Love knows no debt. But I owe you so much.
Oh, darling, don't look so tragic. I've got a surprise for you, but... first...
Yes?
First... yes.
Richard.
I'm very sorry. I mean, I didn't want to break in this way, but I thought...
Yes, Miss Stevens?
Well, Mrs. Field is on her way in.
Richard?
Mrs. Field is expected, Miss Stevens.
Expected?
Please...
Here... I mean, now?
Please show in at once.
All right, Mr. Field. Oh, Richard, I shouldn't be here.
Louise knows you're here. Wait.
Well, Richard?
Louise, this is Diane. Diane Lovering.
How do you do, Mrs. Field?
Take this chair, my dear, and... And you, Diane. Here. Here we are.
Well, Richard?
Louise, I wanted you to meet Diane for only one reason.
Yes?
I wanted you to know, to see for yourself that I hadn't insulted you by becoming entangled with some... Well, I guess the word is creature.
Please, Dick. I've always given you credit for good taste. But go on.
Diane came to work here during the war. You'll remember I was in this office about 20 hours out of every day. At first, I didn't notice her, didn't know she was here. Other girls cracked up, but not this one. She came to be the one person in the whole organization I knew I could depend on.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Field. I don't think I should be here for this.
Please, Miss Lovering, let him finish.
Well, things got back on an even keel again. I suppose I never would have become aware of Diane, but...
Yes?
One day I rang for her, and she wasn't there. Then I missed her. Then I knew I was in love with her. Can you understand that, Louise?
It's a little clearer. Oh,
please, I can't listen
Diane, to you. Diane, you've got to.
Go on, please.
Well, I went to the hospital several times, and then one day she was gone, leaving no word. I traced her and found her working somewhere else. When I asked her why, she tried to lie and say we work girls too hard here. But it was in her eyes, even though I could hardly believe it. I could see it, and I made her tell me it was because she loved me, too.
I can understand that, Dick.
Oh, please, this is all
I'm
wrong.
I'm almost through, Diane. Well, Louise, that's how it happened. She hasn't your protection in the community. But she's kept on loving me. Seeing only me. Waiting on back streets, I believe they call it. Only for me.
I do love him, Mrs. Field. At least that's honest.
I believe you do. Well, Richard, what have you decided?
I'm asking you for a divorce, Louise.
Oh, you...
I can arrange it quietly and... There's nothing you can't have. Naturally, the children will stay with you, but perhaps you'd let me see them now and then.
No, Dick.
All right, Louise. At least with you, they couldn't be in better hands. You've proven that. But if you insist on saying no...
You misunderstand me, Dick. I'm saying no to everything.
But, Louise, can't you see...
The children are arriving this afternoon. Will you be home for dinner?
Well, I... Do you wish me to?
No, but the boys will be home for their holiday, and they will. Very well, Richard. At 7, then? Good day, Miss Lovering.
Good day. Goodbye.
Diane.
Oh, please, Richard, there's only one thing
no,
to do
No,
now.
No, don't say it. Don't even think it.
We can't go on after that. We
Darling,
can't.
I know your thoughts. I'm sorry I had to put you through that, but I thought it was... The only honest and honorable way.
And it didn't work.
No. You're not to say it. I haven't given up. I've just begun. And when you get back...
When I get back?
Oh, my darling. You're too near this thing to think about it, so I want you to forget it for a while. The Argentine castle is sailing tomorrow for Buenos Aires, and I want you to sail aboard her. I'll get you the presidential suite. I want you to relax, meet new people, have a good time, and when you get back...
Yes.
If Louise hasn't changed her mind, I won't have the right to ask anything of you.
Perhaps not the right, Richard. But you're wrong when you said that love knows no debt.
Huh?
Perhaps I wouldn't feel this way if I'd ever had any people of my own. You're the only person who's ever truly loved me, who's been truly good to me. You're everything I respect and admire. You've given me all the things I've always wanted and knew I'd never have. And when I get back, well, I suppose if you want me to jump through hoops for you, I'll jump.
You like the sweet dial?
Oh, it's perfect. Why are you always so good to me?
Because I love you, of course.
Oh,
Mr. Field. Miss Ladd, the captain hold the boat?
Oh, no. I'm going ashore right now, steward.
I see.
But, Richard, we'll miss our farewell cocktail.
I know, my dear, but when I have mine ashore at our usual time, I'll be thinking of you. And you?
Of course. At 6:30, a sherry flip.
And we'll pretend we're having it together. Now remember what I told you.
I'm to relax and have a good time.
You're to have fun, be gay. There, I must go.
Goodbye, Richard.
Goodbye, my darling. You run along to the bar now, and remember, every evening at 6:30...
A sherry flip with you.
Mike, come on, hurry. She might disappear.
Oh, now look, Johnny, you're seeing things.
But I tell you, she's a mermaid only with legs. And what legs? Not to mention others.
Oh, you're slack to the teeth.
I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm sitting there at the bar as we sail, and she comes in and stops up on a hoop, hops up on a stool.
All right, there you are. You're blotto. I don't know why I humor you. You find a sensational new dame every hour on the hour.
Mike, please, this dame is not a dame. This one is what little girls are made of. And after they made her, they must have been ready to quit. You know the kind, she's got everything she ought to have, and it's all exactly in the right place.
Sure, I've heard you rave about dames before.
Well, I tell you, this one is different. Wait.
What?
There, outside the bar in that deck chair.
Oh? Oh, no.
Now, do you believe what I said about her?
Johnny, my boy, up to now, everything you have said about that girl has been pure slander.
Sure. But what do we do now?
What do we do? You met her in the bar, didn't you?
Well, no, that is not formally.
Now, wait. I know how you operate. You mean you didn't introduce yourself?
Sure I did. Also, I offered to pay for her sherry flip.
What happened?
Well, about that time, she hauled off and poked me in the puss. And after I picked myself up, I figured I needed you as reinforcement.
Wait a minute, Johnny. Let me think. You are a little tight, aren't you?
Well, maybe a little.
Yeah, just as I thought, exactly. All right, here's what you do. You go right over there and apologize.
You think so? She gave me a real deep freeze.
On your way, fellow. And remember, I'll back you up.
Okay, Mike. Here goes. I've been thinking over my conduct in the bar, Miss...
Oh, it's you again.
Yeah? Yes, it is. And I felt I ought to apologize. Now, it's true that I'm just a poor rancher. A friend and I own a ranch in the Argentine, but I'm really quite civilized.
Will you please go away?
And I mean, if you'll give me a chance to prove that I know how to read and write and which fork to use for the fish...
Would you let me say something, please?
Let you? I'd love it.
I don't want to have a cocktail with you. I don't want to have dinner with you, and I don't want to dance with you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. But you can't say goodbye until we've done all those things you don't want to do. I mean...
Look, I've tried being nice to you in the bar, and it didn't work. So now, please, please go away.
But I just got here.
You heard the lady, sir. She said go away.
Hey, you're supposed...
Oh, I've had my eye on you, all right, and I think this is going far enough.
Why, you snake in the grass, you Judas!
Foul language, huh? Well, I'll
take your big hands off
I'm
me.
I'm sorry, miss. Obviously, he is no gentleman.
I'm no... Why, you...
Steward, deck steward.
Yes, sir.
This fellow here, obviously blotto, he was annoying this young lady.
Annoying Miss Lovering? Oh, dear, Mr. Field.
Yes, you take him away, will you?
Indeed, I will, sir.
You rat. Now, please, you've been before an officer.
Thank you very much.
Well, not at all, Miss Lovering. Just a pity that these kind of things have to happen. I'm glad I could be of some slight assistance. Oh, by the way, an Irish uncle named me Mike Bradley. Yes. By the way, the chef aboard here is a friend of mine, and I'd like to have him cook you a pompano in the Argentine manner.
Thank you again, Mr. Bradley. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'm having dinner in my cabin.
Oh, you can't eat alone. It's forbidden.
It's forbidden?
Well, sure. I mean, aboard a field line ship, you can relax, have fun, be gay. Well, that's what all the field line posters say.
I know. I wrote the posters myself. Goodbye, Mr. Bradley.
Oh, but please, Miss Lovering, you can't. I mean, I've just met you at... Miss Lovering, wait. You left your handbag.
Oh, there you are, you double-crossing rat.
Johnny, boy, Johnny, she's gone.
Yeah, I see she's gone.
Oh, but she left her handbag. I'll find her.
Before you do anything, you creep, you'll pay me the $20 I just slipped that steward to let me go.
I'll give you $100, $200.
Oh, what a low trick to play on a pal. Your own best friend, your business partner.
Now, look, Johnny, I saw it was the only chance I might have to meet her. As soon as I saw her, I was desperate.
So you knifed your own pal in the back. I wouldn't have believed it.
Look, Johnny. All those dames you bring out to the ranch, I don't like it, but I don't kick, do I? Cork not. And when I see the one girl in the whole world that... Well, you see how it is? I mean, sure, I knifed you in the back, but... Miss Lovering.
Yes, I came back to my handbag, but I couldn't help overhearing.
You came back.
Sure, pal, I see how it is.
But, you know, maybe those posters are right. Maybe I should have fun and be gay.
Yes, of course, Miss Lovering, of course. Johnny, go see if our cabin's still there, will you? Do something.
I'll go sharpen your knife. You've sort of dulled it in my back.
You stay right here, Johnny.
Oh, but he really wants to go to see if our cabin's still there. Don't you, Johnny?
Sure, pal. Anything for a pal, pal.
As you were, Johnny. The only way to have fun and be gay is in a crowd. And in this case, three is the right crowd.
Now there, Martha. There go three handsome people for you.
Where?
Oh, promenading the deck. The big red-headed Irishman, the skinny blonde fellow, and the beautiful brunette.
As far as the red-headed Irishman and the brunette are concerned, the blonde skinny fellow isn't even there.
Yeah, lovely moonlight on deck, Martha. Shall we walk up to the bow?
Yes, Ashley. Wait. Up there in the bow of the ship.
Here, Martha?
The red-headed Irishman and the brunette.
Well, now, they don't own the bow of the ship.
Ashley, you old fool.
Yeah, Martha?
Do you remember the night we were in the bow of the ship, alone?
Yes, indeed.
Ashley!
Shall we go back and have a hand of canasta?
It's a fine, fat, full moon, Dinah girl. Up to your specifications.
Oh, it's perfect, Mike. How did you arrange it?
Oh, for our last night out, old Master Mike's got more. Yes, sir. Up there also is the Southern Cross.
Where? I've always heard so much about it. Where?
Well, you have to look sharp. Up there to the left, above the Milky Way, those four stars. Here, I'll point, and you look up along my finger. There.
Yes, I see. Oh.
You know, we have a saying down here in the Argentine. They say if you look at the Southern Cross when the moon is full, all your problems melt away.
But I haven't any problems, Mike.
Oh, yes, you have, Dinah. A lot of problems.
But I tell you, I haven't.
As you were looking up at the Southern Cross just then, the ship swayed. And when you leaned against me, you jumped as if you'd touched a red-hot stove. Yes, Dinah. Shall I tell you what some of the problems are?
If you insist I have problems, certainly. Oh, no, I don't want to hear about it.
Then I'll tell you.
Oh, please, Mike, I've had so much fun with you on this trip. Please don't spoil it now.
I don't want to spoil it. But the ship docks at dawn and we go our separate ways. Only I don't want us to go our separate ways. After knowing you, there's nowhere for me to go.
Oh, please, you mustn't talk this way.
You afraid for me to tell you about your problem?
Of course I'm not afraid of
you. One of your problems is that sherry flip at cocktail time.
No.
Your eyes get very far away then, but I can see a man behind them.
You can't.
Well, I imagine he must call you Diane. So that's why I call you Dinah.
Oh, no, Mike, I won't listen anymore.
Then don't listen. Say something. You engaged to that man?
Please, Mike, no.
Have you ever been?
Oh, no, please.
Then why are you afraid of me? Why are you afraid to look at me, to touch me? I'll tell you why, Dinah. You're afraid of me because you're afraid of yourself. You don't trust yourself. You won't dare admit it.
That's not true, it isn't.
Then prove it. Prove it by coming out to the ranch tomorrow where you won't be protected by a shipload of people.
No, I can't. I won't.
Well, it'll be perfectly proper. Johnny will be there. But maybe you owe it to yourself to find out if you're trustworthy with yourself.
Is this an invitation or a dare?
I love you, Dinah. And I think you're afraid to ask yourself if you love me, too. It's an invitation and a dare.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I should find out if I'm the person I think I am. The person I want to be.
Well.
All right, Mike. I'll be there.
Diane?
Yes, Johnny.
What's wrong with Mike, Diane?
Wrong with him?
What's wrong with him in your eyes?
Nothing's wrong with him, Johnny. Mike's wonderful.
If you believe that, why don't you let him see it in your eyes?
Have I tried to hide anything from Mike?
Not tried. You're being a terrific success at it.
Are you sure of that?
Sure, I'm sure. Mike didn't tell me this, but Mike asked you here today for a reason. He wanted you to see how he lives, see him as he really is. He hoped you'd like what you saw. He hoped you'd like it a lot.
And?
All day you've been as cool and polite as a hostess at a tea party.
Maybe I've had to make myself act that way, Johnny. Maybe I came out here to see if I could act that way.
Huh?
Maybe there's someone else. Someone who's kind and wonderful and good. Someone I couldn't bear to hurt.
I see, Diane. Trust your Uncle Johnny to poke his nose into other people's business.
No, I like you for saying the things you've said. And look, Johnny, Mike is wonderful. Look at him on that white Arabian. The way he... Oh, Johnny, no!
It's all right. The horse just stumbled. Diane!
Is he all right?
Of course he's all right. Diane, you're white as a sheet.
Oh, no, I'm all right.
Yeah, you're all right now. But can I give you some advice?
Yes, Johnny, what?
You better get back on that boat as soon as you can, or that somebody who's so good and kind and wonderful, the one you can't bear to hurt, that somebody's gonna get hurt.
Hey, Johnny boy, where are you rushing off to?
That's some office work. See you two for cocktails.
Right. Just look what I brought, Dinah. You like him?
Oh, Mike, he's adorable. How old is he?
About 2 weeks, and spry as a cricket.
Is that his father, the one you were riding?
That's right. Oh, can't you see the proud glint in the rascal's eye?
Oh, he's white all over, just like his father. Except for that...
Oh, that's the loving mama over there in the corral, the pinto. That's where he got the black star on his forehead.
Oh, could I cut it just for a little?
Sure you can. Here, I'll take off the bridle.
Oh, you darling thing. You're so lovely. Oh, I wish you belonged to me.
His name is Chili Beans, Dinah. He does belong to you.
Mike, no.
Soon as he was born, I knew he deserved something very special. When I saw you, I knew you were it.
Oh, thank you.
So I'll keep him here until he's big enough to travel. Unless...
Yes?
Unless you'd sort of stay around and see to it that he's brought up as he should be.
Oh, I can't do that, Mike.
We've got a beautiful, warm sun here. You see it up there? We have miles and miles of pampas grass, lush and green, and almost up to your shoulder. We got a nice sort of ranch house over there. We'd rebuild it, of course, to make it a little more feminine.
Thanks for asking me, Mike. I'd better go back to the house now and get ready to go back to town.
Chili Beans! Hey, Dinah!
Oh, Mike, he died away from me.
Oh, look at that rascal right into that tall pampas grass where he can get lost. See how worried his mom is?
What are you going to do?
Well, I'll go find him.
Oh, it's my fault. I'll help you.
All right, but you stay right behind me. I don't want you to get lost, too.
Right behind you. Which way did he go?
I think he's straight ahead here somewhere.
Oh, no, Mike, he's over there. Follow me. Over here.
All right, now watch out. Don't fall.
Oh, that darn roof.
Did I hurt you?
No, no. Oh, darling, my darling, darling.
Still afraid?
No, no, not anymore. Of you and myself.
Why?
Because now I know.
Darling, what do you know?
I belong to you, Mike, completely. I always will.
Oh, sweetheart, sweetheart. Now I know you love me. But why did you try to run away?
Because I had to. Because I'm not the kind of girl. Listen,
you... You listen to me. If you think you're going to tell me about a deep, dark past, something that doesn't concern either of us anymore, you're crazy. Do you understand that, Mrs. Mike Bradley?
I have to tell you, Mike. There was another man. Someone who was kind and wonderful to me.
The man I saw behind your eyes?
Yes, yes. But you don't see him there anymore, do you?
I've forgotten he was ever there. And I want you to forget it, too.
Oh, it isn't quite as easy as that. You see, he was married to someone else. And he paid my bills. And now what do you think of your Mrs. Mike Bradley?
Well, I think he must have been a pretty regular guy if you liked him, Dinah. And I think we'd better get up to the house and write him a letter.
No, Mike. He wouldn't run out on me, and I can't run out on him. I'll have to tell him face to face.
You mean go back to New York?
Only for a little while. You see, I never really felt anything until you kissed me just now. I thought I loved him. He's kind and gentle, and I owe him everything. This trip. I even owe him you. And if I see him myself, I know I can make him understand. We couldn't be happy any other way, could we?
Just hurry back, my darling. Hurry back.
But Diane is in for a surprise when she reaches New York, and we'll hear all about it in just a moment.
Now for Act Two of the MGM Theater of the Air presentation, Chained, starring Ava Gardner. Without waiting for her boat, Diane Lovering has left the man she really loves for a showdown with the man she thought she loved. The man who, in the past, has provided Diane with everything except marriage. And at this moment, the shipping magnate, Richard Field, is entering Diane's apartment. After seeing Field, Diane expects to return to her lover in the Argentine. But wait.
Diane, darling, I came as fast as I could.
Thank you, Richard.
When Miss Stevens got your call, said you'd flown back instead of waiting for the boat, I was frightened out of my wits. And then...
I had to see you at once.
Of course, of course. Oh, my darling, I've never been so flattered. Thank you so much for loving me.
Richard... There's something
I... No, wait a moment. Just a moment. I've a surprise for you.
A surprise?
Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't kiss you as I came in. You noticed that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
The kiss comes after the surprise. Here.
It's just a rolled-up newspaper.
Unroll it, my darling. Unroll it.
Inside a little box.
And inside the box. Oh, darling, open it.
Richard, a wedding band.
The best I could get on short notice.
But your wife...
Ah, that's where the newspaper comes in. Here, look on the front page. Here.
Louise, you'll make a surprise trip to Reno.
Isn't it wonderful, darling? Well, you look as if you don't believe it.
Oh, I do believe it. I guess I just hadn't counted on it.
I didn't dare hope for it myself. Of course, there is one bad angle.
Yes, Richard.
The boys. Louise insisted that I give them up, not see them.
I do mean so much to you, don't I?
I didn't really know until you went away on this trip. I used to come here in this room, just sit. Somehow it made things a little easier.
Have you told anybody about us?
All of my real friends, all the people who will be your friends. You don't know how proud I'll be to show you to them.
All your bridges burned. You've given up everything for me.
But, darling, I got so much more in return. I got you. Oh, no, Diane. While you were away on this trip, I realized that you're my entire world. But if I lost you, I'd lose everything. No, but we needn't think about that now, eh?
Not now, Richard. Or ever. Darling, would you excuse me for a moment?
But I just got here. I haven't even kissed my future bride.
I know. But there's something urgent I must do. I must write a letter.
Now, careful with that paneling, Pablo. You know, a lady's boudoir has to be exactly right.
Si, I fix, Senor Mac.
Well, how goes the new wing on Honeymoon Hall?
Johnny boy. Any mail for me?
Sure, Mike, sure. Here's a bill for that last carload of feed. Jimenez and Rio wants to buy 3 colts. You've been elected a governor of the Buenos Aires Club.
Oh, look, do I have to knock your fat head off? Is there any mail for me, real mail?
Oh, that. Yes, I believe I did have a letter here for you. Smelled real pretty, too. That is, if I didn't lose it along the way. Or
all right, now I'm warning you.
Here it is, you lovesick loon. Here.
Give it to me. Oh, I'll bet you don't. Go on, overtime. All right, Johnny. All right, listen to this.
Do I have to?
Now, just shut up and listen. Dear Mike. Oh, I like the way she writes that, dear Mike. Just a note to tell you that everything between us was fun while it lasted. But it was only that. Fun.
You don't want me to hear this, boy.
Shut up and listen. By the time you get this, I will be Mrs. Richard I. Field. Richard will give me all the things I've ever wanted. All the things you could never give me. He means all the world to me. And I'm sure you will understand. Sincerely, Diane.
I'm sorry, fella. I wish I could get my hands on that...
Yes, and I'm sorry I kept my hands off her while she was here. She threw herself at me, practically dared me. But oh, no! Mike Bradley's got high principles and shining ideals. Well, she isn't through with me.
Mike, you wouldn't speak to her again, not now.
Oh, no?
But she's low. She's cheap.
Sure, she's low and cheap. But it just so happens that I own her outright. She knows it, and I know it. Oh, she's married this rich guy, all right, but... But when we see each other again, she'll know that I still own her. And I'll treat her as I should have treated her in the first place. Johnny.
Yes, Mike.
Does Carlos still want to buy chili beans?
You know he does, and he'll pay you anything you ask. That colt comes from top racing stock all the way back.
All right, call up Carlos and tell him to come get him. Tell him I'll pay him to take him away.
Heard sensational things about this next act, Dick. I hope you and Diane like it.
I'm sure we will, Ned. I'm glad you brought us here.
What's the name of the place? I didn't notice as we came in.
The Casa Flamenca, specializes in South American music. Well, Diane, I believe you were in South America.
I'm afraid I don't know one tune from another.
Wait.
Ladies and gentlemen, the premier guitarist of all the Americas from Buenos Aires, Tito Monet. Oh.
Diane.
I feel faint, that music. I heard it on the boat.
Music makes you feel faint? The boat?
Oh, please take me home.
Oh, of course, darling. The music? The boat. Oh, of course, you heard that music on the boat while you were seasick. Is that it?
Yes, Richard. I was seasick.
Finest horse show the garden's put on in years. You like it, my dear?
Yes, Richard.
It looked particularly over here at this black gelding. Diane, you're not looking at the black gelding.
No. No, white Arabian.
Oh, do we know the owner?
No. No, I once knew a horse that looked like that.
Ah, it's a beauty at that. Watch him as he heads for that jump. Watch out!
Oh, Richard, is he hurt?
Oh, darling, the horse only stumbled.
Yes, Richard.
Diane. Oh, darling, I'd better take you home. You're as white as a sheet.
Yes, Mrs. Field. Will you allow me to be of service?
Mr. Field's dear rifle, has it been repaired?
Well, yes, Mrs. Field. It's in perfect working order. It's a beautiful gun. Will Mr. Field want it once?
Yes, we're going to Lake Placid tomorrow. He might do some hunting on one of the preserves.
Well, the best of luck to him. Or would there be something else in the line of winter sports?
Oh, now, clerk, I'd like to see some shotguns, something in the 12-gauge, over and unders, full choke.
Mike!
Mrs. Field. Well, well, well. Mrs. Richard I. Field. And how are you, Mrs. Field?
Hello, Mike. It's been a long time.
Oh, not so long, only a year. Let's see, now, I believe we were last together in Atlantic City, weren't we? Or was it Havana?
Oh, Mike, you've become so hard, so bitter.
That's funny, I hadn't noticed it. As for you, you haven't changed a bit.
Mike, I must talk to you.
Fine, start talking.
Oh, not here.
Mrs. Field, about the gun.
Yes.
I suppose you want it sent to your home.
Right away, please. Mr. Field may need it.
I'll take care of it right away.
My, oh, my, has it come to this already? I can just picture the headlines. Bride of Year shot by wealthy spouse. Now, let's see what the cause would be. Of course, you have given him cause.
No, Mike. I haven't given him cause.
Well, that's a pity. Maybe we can remedy it. Tell you what. I know a little place that's very private. You come to lunch with me.
I had a luncheon date with friends.
You had a luncheon date with friends, but you can give them an excellent excuse. You can tell them that this is urgent business. Unfinished business.
Oh, Mike, what have I done to you?
Opened my eyes for one thing, like in the old Kipling song, and I learned about women from her. Well, are you coming, Dinah?
Yes, Mike. I'm coming.
The food was all right, Monsieur Bradley?
Oh, it was perfect, Philippe, perfect.
Oh, bon, bon, très bon. Alors, some brandy, yes?
Brandy, yes. Oh, but wait. Perhaps the lady would prefer a sherry flip.
A sherry flip after dinner? But I do not understand.
Nothing for me, Philippe, thank you.
Oh, oui, madame. That will be all, Monsieur Bradley?
Well, you seem to have just about everything, Philippe. Oh, tell you what you do.
Oui, monsieur.
Downstairs and thank that guitarist for playing that tune for us. Oh, and here, take this.
Oh, but Monsieur Bradley, you are too generous. You have already paid so very well.
I know. But that's for closing the door as you go out.
For closing the... Oh, mais oui, avec plaisir. Then, for the beautiful moment, adieu.
Well, well. Here we are again, just where we left off. Of course, we haven't got that lovely warm sun and that lush green pampas grass, but that's life. You can't have everything. Right, Dinah?
I found that out, Mike, and it broke my heart.
Well, just let old Dr. Mike Bradley prescribe for you. When you leave here this afternoon, take 2 mink coats and 1 chinchilla cape, mix well in a Rolls-Royce convertible, and stir in a couple of bales of gilt-edged stock.
Oh, Mike.
Did I forget something? Of course, follow at regular intervals with trips to Palm Beach and the Riviera.
Mike, please listen to me.
Were you saying something?
I didn't come here for the reason you think I did.
Oh, no?
No, let me tell you.
No, let me tell you. Let me tell you like this.
Oh, no, no, please. No, no, no.
There. There, that's telling you.
Oh, please, Mike. Not again, like that.
What was wrong with that kiss?
It was hard and brutal on me. Not like you.
Any suggestions for improving my technique?
Yes.
I need you to learn.
Look at me, Mike.
All right, I'm looking. Start the lesson.
Once we were under the lovely warm sun and the luscious green pampas grass. Mike.
Yes.
Please kiss me. That way.
Dinah. That kiss, you meant it.
I love you, Mike. Please believe me.
Darling, I do believe it. I know it now, but why? Why, Dinah?
In trying to keep Richard from being hurt, I hurt you. I was afraid I had. I'd been afraid ever since I wrote that. And when I saw you just now, I saw how hard to tell you the truth, no matter what you thought when I came here with you.
But, Dinah, now we know we love each other. We belong to each other.
In our hearts, yes. But there's Richard.
No.
Yes, Mike, and there'll always be Richard.
But you'll have to tell him. Why didn't you tell him when you came back?
He'd already given up everything, including his children. He'd turned his whole world, his whole life over to me in front of everybody. I can't ask him to take it back now. It would disappear and he'd be alone with nothing.
What about me?
Well, now that you don't hate me anymore, now that you know you love me and I love you, it should make things easier for us to give each other up.
No, Dinah. I've got to see you again tomorrow.
We're going away tomorrow. Goodbye, Mike, darling.
Dinah, do you realize what you're doing?
Yes, Mike. I'm keeping you locked in a part of my heart where no one else will ever be. Where only I can talk to you without ever seeing you again. Listen for me in your heart, Mike. Always.
Diane? Diane, dear. Oh, there you are.
Oh, I'm sorry, Richard. I didn't hear you.
Oh, darling, you're so very lovely when you get that faraway, pensive look in your eyes. Ah, but I'm home and hungry as a bear. What's for dinner?
For dinner?
Hmm?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I didn't know.
Caught you that time. First time in a whole year, though. I don't know of any other wife who takes such good care of her husband.
Richard.
Yes?
Our train reservations are for tomorrow night, aren't they?
Yes, my dear. Of course, if you'd like to go later, I'll have them
soon. Oh, no. I'd like to go sooner.
Sooner than tomorrow? But, my dear...
I'd like to leave tomorrow morning early.
But there are no trains.
Oh, we can have small drivers. He's going anyway. The cold air will clear the cobwebs out of our brains.
Oh, but the packing... Yes, and that gun of mine...
Oh, it's here. It's over there in the case. I had them send it this afternoon.
Oh?
Amy and I can pack tonight, and I'll have the kitchen put up a big hamper with hot thermos bottles. Would you, please?
Well, I've got a board meeting tomorrow, but... Oh, yes, of course I will. Come to think of it, I'm flattered at the idea. Can't wait for us to get away together, eh?
Well, I'll get things started.
That's a capital idea. Be just like a picnic, with the two of us running away from everybody and everything. Won't it, darling?
Yes, Richard. Running away from everything.
In just a moment, we'll return and find out if Diane is successful in her effort to escape from everything. Now for Act Three of Chained, starring Ava Gardner. Three days have passed since Diane and her husband arrived at Field's Commodious Lodge in the Lake Placid country. Now it is clear, crisp morning, and Richard Field is just coming down to breakfast.
Good morning, Mr. Field.
Ah, good morning, Small. The paper?
Yes, sir. Your grapefruit's on the table if you're ready to start.
Mrs. Field up yet?
She's already out skiing. She said for you not to wait.
Oh, perfect morning for it. Snow's just right. Some coffee, please.
Yes, sir. You mentioned something about hunting today, sir.
With this snow, it should be an excellent day for tracking deer, eh?
Yes, sir. I've laid out your things and your guns over there by the bookcase. It's a beautiful gun, sir.
Best there is.
Beautiful. Oh, Mr. Bradley called. Mr. Mike Bradley.
Bradley? Mike Bradley? Do we know him?
The name is unfamiliar to me, sir. Perhaps a friend of Mrs. Fields.
Oh, I've never heard her mention the name. Well, what do you want?
He didn't say. It was a little peculiar, sir.
Yes?
Yes, sir. He called and asked if Mrs. Field was in, and I said she was out skiing, and then he asked if you were in, and I said you couldn't be disturbed. You weren't up when he called, sir. He said he didn't want to talk to you on the phone. He'd be right over to see you, sir.
Bradley... Bradley, I never heard of him.
Yes, it is. A bit peculiar, Small.
Shall I let him in, sir, if he comes?
He didn't say what he wanted to see me about, did he?
No, sir. He did say it was urgent. But he said that he had to see you in person. He didn't want to talk to you on the phone.
Hmm. He's got my curiosity aroused now. Hot coffee, please.
Yes, sir.
The coffee can wait, Small. Perhaps that's our Mr. Bradley, whoever he is.
I'll see, sir. Mr. Bradley?
Yes, I'm Bradley.
Your thing, sir.
Mr. Field up yet?
Just inside, sir. You're to go right in.
Thank you.
I'm Richard Field, and you're, I believe it's Mr. Bradley?
Mike Bradley. I own a ranch in Argentina. A friend and I own it. We raise blooded horses.
Oh, well, now, if it's horses,
Isn't horses.
Well, perhaps you'll permit me to continue my breakfast while you tell me what it is, hmm? Oh, by the way,
thank you.
Well?
If you don't mind, I'd like this to be private.
Private? Oh, yes, of course. I'll call you, Small.
Very good, sir.
Now then, Mr. Bradley?
Mr. Field, there's only one reason why I can say what I want to say to you. I understand that you're an honest man, that you play things straight. Your wife told me that.
My wife? You know my wife?
I'm in love with him.
Are you insane?
No more insane than you are, Mr. Field. You love her, too. The difference is that she loves me.
Mr. Bradley, there's a gun over there leaning against that bookcase, a high-powered deer rifle. I think you'd better leave this house.
Not until I say what I came to say. I met her on the boat last year. It was in the cards for both of us, only I couldn't get her to admit it until I got her out on my ranch. Then I knew. We both knew.
If this is some filthy blackmailing situation...
Oh, no. Even then, she was loyal to you. If you've got anything like that in your mind, forget it. But you see, she came back here to tell you about me. Only when she got back, she found that you'd burned all your bridges in public and she couldn't let you down.
And I suppose you've had this information for a year, but you haven't had time to spring it on me, huh?
I found it out day before yesterday. In a room where I'd taken her with the idea of treating her like I thought she wanted to be treated.
I warn you, I won't listen to much more of this.
You've got to, because I found out I was wrong.
Well, I guess that just about settles the matter, doesn't it, Mr. Bradley?
No. It can only be settled one way, her way, which she's too unselfish to face, so I'm trying to face it for her.
I suppose now you're going to tell me that she asked you up here.
Oh, far from it. When I called your office and learned that you'd left earlier than you expected, I simply knew that she was running away from me.
You're kidding yourself, Bradley.
I'm not kidding myself, Mr. Field. You're in a better position than I am to know that a man can't kid himself about a woman.
What do you mean by that?
I thought you'd understand. I don't want to use it as a club.
What do you mean?
You were married once before, and the time came when you couldn't kid yourself, didn't it?
I think I've had enough of this.
Not yet. You once untangled a snarl like this by facing it squarely and asking the woman you were married to do the same thing. And she came through for you, didn't she? And now, according to the rules that you made yourself, it's your turn to come through for somebody else.
And just what do you propose that I do?
Give her up. Give her back to herself.
Why, you
incredible... Oh, I know that it'd mean a break for me, but there's nothing either you or I can do about it. She belongs to me, and I belong to her. We belong to each other. The only thing that can change that is a miracle, Mr. Field. And you and I don't believe in that kind of miracle.
Get out of here.
All right, then. Get this. I wanted to do this honestly and honorably, but you won't play it that way, so get this. I'll take her away from you. I've never tried, but I can, and now I will. I'll take her right past all your lawyers, all the courts, the marriage certificates and legal documents ever written. And we'll be more openly and honestly and completely together.
Get out!
All the people you know.
Oh, I won't answer for my actions,
Richard,
I tell you.
Mike.
Diane, do you love this man?
Well, I...
Well, do you?
No, Richard, no.
Diana, he's just had the consummate gall to tell me he could take you away from me if he wanted to. Is that true?
No, Richard. He couldn't.
Dinah, look at me.
You had no right to do this.
We love each other, Dinah. I do have the right.
I told you this is my husband. He means everything to me, everything. Can't you understand that? Can't you see that you...
No, Dinah, no. It isn't true, and you know it isn't true.
I think she has decided.
No, she hasn't.
Then I'll decide.
Now then, Bradley, listen to me.
I'm not afraid of your gun, Mr. Field. You came into this house without being asked. You've invaded my home. You've said lying, slanderous things about my wife, things which she's thrown back in your dirty face. I've asked you to get out.
Mr. Field, I'll either go out of here with Dinah, or somebody will have to carry me out.
That's perfectly all right with me. And remember, Bradley, I'm perfectly within my legal rights. So since you've asked for it...
No, Richard, you can't do it. Can't you see it's mine? Richard, it's mine.
Yes, my dear. I suppose I really knew it was mine all the time. But I wanted to make sure. Oh, Small. Small?
Yes, Mr. Field?
Lay an extra plate, if you please.
At once, sir.
Oh, Richard.
Oh, dear me, you're shivering. Here, your jacket, darling. You probably don't have cold mornings like this in the Argentine, eh, Mr. Bradley?
No. No, we don't.
Here we are, my dear. You'll be warmer now. Here, let me hold your chair for you. Here we are.
The extra plate is laid, sir.
Oh, thank you, Small. That's for you, Bradley.
Well, I...
A lot of hot coffee, Small. Everybody wants hot coffee. Oh, yeah, yes, and some of those little sausages. A lot of them. I'm starving.
Really, Mr. Field?
You don't like
I...
sausages? Well, I'm sure Small can find something.
That wasn't what I was going to say. I'm not sure just what I was going to say.
Well, then sit down. Let's get at this grapefruit. You say you have a ranch in the Argentine?
That's right. Like to have you see it sometime.
I'd love to. Do you raise any cattle?
Some. Mostly horses. Thoroughbreds and ponies.
Oh, yes. Horses. You don't happen to have a pure white horse down there, do you?
Yes. Good stock horse, too. Arabian.
Did he ever stumble with you?
Well, I suppose all horses stumble sometime, but not that I remember.
Not yet. Well, then don't let him. I don't think she'd like it.
Richard, there's nothing I can say.
She isn't supposed to, is she, Mike?
No, I guess she isn't.
How's the climate down there? Still good for raising children?
None better.
I've got a pair of great boys. The last time I saw them, they couldn't decide whether to go to Harvard or Yale. I guess their mother and I ought to get together and help them. I was Yale, 1920. That's a long time ago.
You know, Mr. Field, I just remembered what it was I wanted to say a moment ago. I wanted to say that I forgot to shake hands with you when I came in. Will you shake hands with me now?
I'll be glad to. There.
Richard, how can I ever pay you all that I owe you?
I hope you can get some sense into her, Mike. I told her a long time ago that when you're truly fond of somebody, there's no such thing as debt and owing people. Oh, but she's flighty. Look, she hasn't even started her grapefruit. She won't get grapefruit like that in the Argentine, eh, Mike?
Yes, I suspect she will if she wants it. If she wants grapefruit or anything else, I suspect it'll be sent down to her from New York by a friend.
By the best friend I ever had.
Ava Gardner will return in just a moment. Now, Ava, I'm about to interview you.
You mean you ask a question and I give an answer? Like, what do I think of Hollywood?
In a general way, that's the idea.
Well, you're a vice president and I'm just a hired help. So, you tell me what I think.
Oh, now, that's old-fashioned.
Nowadays, they've taken the muzzle off the stars, and you can say what you please.
On the radio?
Are your thoughts so fiery that they burn up the air?
No, but they might burn up a few vice presidents.
Maybe I'd better be careful. I can see you're a dangerous woman.
And I can see you've been sold up by your own publicity. Despite the parts that I've played,
In the Hucksters and East Side, West Side.
Yes, despite those parts, I'm normal, home-loving like any other girl.
Don't disillusion me. Your fans like you the way you are, and I'm one of your fans.
All right, then, Howard. I'll try to live up to your idea.
It's better that way, Ava. After all, you've got a picture on the way called, what is it?
Pandora and the Flying Dutchman.
Sounds like a double feature. Well, Ava, you're coming up strong, and we're all looking forward to your next film.
Thank you, Howard.
And thank you, Ava Gardner.
You've been listening to Chains, starring Ava Gardner, adapted for radio by Wellborn Kelly. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Marks B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Katz. Featured in the cast were Don Briggs, Vinton Hayworth, and John Gibson. Ed Stokes speaking.